Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Welcome, 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 one and all. Holy cow.
And some lurking guests.
Lurking guests are fine.
That's fine. I'm just saying they're there.
So let's start the show proper-like, and we'll jump into this thing.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to another live and wild episode of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
Yes.
We are crazy enough to gather the fans together into one virtual room and do a podcast. That's craziness, isn't it?
It is.
So my name is Jeff Roni. I am one of the folks behind the wheel of this crazy ship.
Yes.
I said ship, folks. And I'm joined by the wondrous, itchy-eyed...
Colleen Roni.
All right. So I think everyone is listening. I think everyone can hear.
I'm hoping everyone can.
So my mom's probably listening out there.
Yes.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, everybody.
So I want to welcome all the different groups tonight. We have some charmers out there. We have some dearies out there. Woo. But we also have some evil regals out there tonight. So we want to send big love to the evil regals. Say hi. Howdy. Everybody's got a spot in this podcast, in this room. So just want to say hi-de-ho to everybody. So when you have a story, when you have a fairy tale, you have to have a strong protagonist.
You do.
You have to have a strong hero.
Yep.
Someone who is a hero. But you also need to have a strong antagonist.
Yep.
A strong
villain
or an evil person, possibly an evil queen. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a little audio clip I put together to kind of make the evil regals feel welcome and part of all of what we do here. So here we go.
I'm sure your parents are worried sick about you.
I don't have parents. Just a mom, and she's evil.
Evil? It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
Sorry I'm late.
It's the queen! Run!
So I suggest you get in your car and you leave this town. Because if you don't, I will destroy you if it is the last thing I do. Goodbye, Miss Swan.
This curse isn't gonna be easy. Vengeance never is, dearie. You have to ask yourself a simple question. How far are you willing to go?
As far as it takes.
Then please stop wasting everyone's time and just do it. You know what you love. Now go kill it.
You said this was going to work. That she'd take the key, that she'd go.
And she did.
But it seems that Miss Swan is rather more resourceful than we thought. Fear not, Your Majesty. Miss Blanchard's still guilty of murder. You may yet get what you want.
Oh, I better. The only reason I made a deal with you, Gold, is because I wanted results.
And results you shall have. See you in the arraignment.
Oh, I haven't come here to ruin anything. On the contrary, dear. I've come to give you a gift. My gift to you is this happy, happy day.
We will take the happy day, Your Worship. Thank you. So, just a little audio clip to kind of get us in the mood. And I do want to welcome all the evil regals that are here. Mm-hmm. And there's room for everybody. And so, this is just a great time to get all the fans together and talk about the greatest show on TV. And so, we just want to welcome you, send big love out to you. And we're going to get going with the show.
Sweet.
So, I did want to announce something. Princess of Dreamer was putting together this, The Secret's Out. Mm-hmm. And it was, there was some voting going on. The voting's over. And so tomorrow at 2:45 Central Time, the winner is going to be announced. And mm-hmm. what's really cool is the voting kind of determines not only the winner, but there's going to be surprises and all this kind of stuff. So what you do is there is a hashtag, and the hashtag is hashtag The Secret's Out. And you can also go to Princess of Dreamer's Twitter page. So that is really cool, and I wanted to share that with you guys, and we're going to start there. So how you doing? How you doing over there? You having a problem?
No, I'm good. I just forgot to plug in my computer, and I do not want it to die on me in the middle of this. So,
all right. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things going on. So, go check her Twitter page out and also follow that hashtag, The Secret's Out. So, all right. We're going to get going with some emails in just a little bit. But I did want to talk some about the meetup at Disneyland on September 15th and 16th.
Yes.
It's a ways away, but I at least wanted to talk about it just a little
bit.
Right. So we met with a good friend of ours, Paul Berry, mm-hmm. from the Window to the Magic podcast.
Yes.
And if you've never heard it, it's great stuff. It's binaural stereo recording of a lot of the parks. And it's not just Disneyland, it's Disney World and all over.
And what exactly does that mean? Just in case somebody's not sure.
It means that there are microphones, let's say, on both sides of your ears.
Okay.
And so when the recording happens, it's like you're really there because there's the stereo recordings going on.
So instead of one microphone just kind of recording whatever it can pick up closest to it, you got two that are essentially picking up what you would, as if you are hearing it yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And it's a cool thing because there have been some emails from some blind folks mm-hmm. that listen to it, and they feel like they're there without having the video or anything, and they could just listen to it. So a lot of great things. So it's called Window to the Magic. And so we had brunch with Paul Berry today, and he's going to help us out with some Disney trivia as we go through the park. And for those of you who haven't been to Disneyland, or maybe if you have, that are going to go to the meetup, we're going to learn a little more about the park as well as mm-hmm. have a great time. So we're really fortunate to live so close to Disneyland.
That's true.
And we're going to have a good time. So if you can make it, great. If not, we're going to be taking photos, and there's some little fun things we have planned. There's so many secrets I can't even tell you.
Yeah. And Paul is very knowledgeable about the park. Paul is, he's very well connected, and he's got a lot of great information. So, check him out if you can.
Yes.
And I love it. Mixler's not responding to me. Isn't that awesome? Anywho.
Trouble. Okay.
I know.
All right. So here we go. We're going to jump into some emails. And if you have maybe a question or something, you can put it in the chat, and we'll hopefully see it. Can you maybe refresh?
I can't do anything. My computer's frozen right now. Okay. It's fantastic.
Let's take it back. We'll get another one.
No.
So, all right. So let me go with our first email. And this is kind of a general email. Darren emailed and it was asking about filming in Steveston. And at this point right now, it's over and the season is done filming. So they were just filming the finale, so now it's done. But there is a cool lady on Twitter, and it's at OL.
OLTV.
OLTV, Christine.
Yeah.
And she actually has information about filming and different things. So once it starts up for next season, she posts little information here and there, and I would point you in her direction.
Yeah.
And what's really great about Vancouver especially is that there's a lot of filming right now for pilots.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, and there's actually a lot of movies being filmed in Vancouver, period. So we got to send big love to Vancouver because they are the second home for Storybrooke. So
yes,
we love Steveston. We love Vancouver. So it's just, it's really neat. And, you know, there's little pictures tweeted out here and there. I saw one with Josh Dallas posing with a couple of girls there that were kind of waiting, watching the filming. And the cast is just fantastic. So
yes, that is true.
I say it again. It was really neat being at the Paley Center event and just to see Lana, you know, when she was talking about the evil Regals and the whole place just exploded. So
oh, yeah.
It was really neat. Uh-huh. Really neat to be there.
It was.
So this email is from Kat Slay. It says, hi, Jeff, Colleen, and the deputy. So the deputies, you got a little shout out here.
Yeah, you did.
So, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Wow, what an episode. As I said to Holly Mom, this episode made me feel like I've been given a gift. And when I opened the gift, there were a million extra gifts inside. So she's talking about Hat Trick, of course.
Yes.
So in this episode, our question of different worlds is answered by Jefferson, who says that all of the worlds sort of bump into each other. I know the theory about Storybrooke being a honeycomb of different portals is a theory. It seems certainly Jefferson's statements lend weight to this theory. And if you, it's hard to see, but if you look at the map, it looks that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's well planned out and sort of like a honeycomb.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
So it says that Jefferson mentioned that his curse was having knowledge. A few weeks ago, I sent an email discussing a possible theory I had about the fairies having retained their memories but lost their magic.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson was a magician, and he seems to have suffered the exact fate. And that is really interesting if you think about it. Because a magician uses a hat,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
pulls out rabbits or different things. And so,
right,
obviously, it may have been some type of an influence on the story.
Mm.
But especially here is you can actually jump into the hat and go as a portal to somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting, too, the whole magician side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know the curse affects those under it in different ways. Therefore, it seems to be a strong possibility that those with magical powers could be cursed with knowledge, while others are cursed to forget. I'm curious to see if this is the same with Belle, who could have possibly gleaned a hint of magic from the brief kiss with Rumpelstiltskin. Exciting stuff. That is interesting, that maybe she got some of his power, or magic.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Hmm. All right. However, my thoughts have wandered to another far-off theory. And again, this could be way off base, but here goes. I wonder if the Queen of Hearts will turn out to be none other than Regina's dear old mom. That is a very popular theory.
It is.
It is pretty much everywhere.
And I've heard it a number of times, yes.
Except for some places. They don't think so.
Well, that's true. And I can see where it's a very real possibility. I hesitate to agree with it only because I know that they don't usually use different actresses for the same part. And considering Barbara Hershey was not in that episode and it was a different woman playing the Queen of Hearts, I don't know. Maybe they did this time. Maybe they did. But I tend to not think that it's her only because of that. That's okay. The only reason why.
All right.
Because I think it would be fascinating if it is her, if it turns out that it is her, that'd be really interesting.
Okay. I also felt this is the first time we've seen the fairy tale Queen Regina show real fear in a scene where she and Jefferson are trying to escape from the Queen of Hearts guards in the maze. So far, Regina has stood up to Maleficent, had a sword thrown at her, incinerated a fellow witch, took down a king, tricked a genie, stood in the company of ogres and other despicable creatures, killed her childhood horse and her father, sparred with Rumpelstiltskin, and came out unscathed every single time. Not one time did she seem afraid, except maybe when she killed her father, but that was guilt, not fear. She simply laughed in the face of danger each time. But I can see what you are saying, but I think if the Queen of Hearts actually shrunk down Regina's father, that is kind of a... I would be leery of that person,
well,
too.
And the other thing she said, too, was, you know what she'll do if she catches you.
Right.
Isn't that what he said to her, what Jefferson said to her? And we know what happened because he got caught.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the email continues. So my question is, why would Regina run? Why not stand there and obliterate the guards and barbecue the maze? Why not just take down the Queen of Hearts? She's pretty much destroyed everyone else in her path that scorned her. What's another casualty? She eventually fights back against the guards, but it seems like it takes her a while to do so. It's as if she had to remind herself, right, I've got powers. I can toast these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on, but I just want to say this, is that even in Batman with the Joker, you know, there's a great conversation between the two, and Batman said, well, you're going to kill me. He goes, I'm not going to kill you. I need you. It makes me who I am.
Right.
And then there's this balance of power. You know, so like I said before, good needs bad and bad needs good. Without the other side, you don't have it.
Right.
So.
Yep.
So I will continue to read. If I'm correct and the Queen of Hearts is Regina's mother, then of course Regina's first reaction would be to run. If Regina's mother is half the woman Regina has turned out to be, she's definitely a force to be reckoned with.
Right.
Perhaps Regina knew to run because she knew that as powerful as she is, she could never beat her own mother. Our parents, regardless of whether they're good or bad, know us better than anyone. Fighting against her mother wouldn't be a fair fight for Regina. Her mother would know exactly where to find Regina's Achilles heel. That's true.
Yeah.
And remember, Regina did tell Jefferson that she knew better than most what the queen was capable of.
Right.
And I don't know if just what the Queen of Hearts did to her father was the only thing. It seemed like she had more dealings, obviously.
Well, with the Queen of Hearts, so. Yeah, and that's what I would agree with you. I think that she does know her from somewhere else. She's had dealings with her in the past.
Yep.
And what I do find interesting is I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be something like her sister or a cousin or some relative of sorts.
Okay.
Because the whole episode, that was something I brought up after the fact, was the episode centered very much on family. And it almost made me wonder if Jefferson and Regina are related somehow. Brother and sister, cousins, something. So I would not be surprised if we learn that she is somehow related to the Queen of Hearts. I don't know whether Queen of Hearts is her mother. It'd be interesting. I don't know if that's the case or if she's like her sister or something else. But she clearly knows her, and she clearly knew Jefferson before too. And it didn't seem like it was a romantic relationship. It seemed very familial.
Okay.
So that's just my take.
All right. I continue. Meaning she knew all too well the types of punishment the Queen of Hearts doles out.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps because she has experienced such punishments herself. The Queen of Hearts also made sure to correct Jefferson when he referred to Regina as the Queen, ordering him to refer to the Queen as simply Regina.
Right.
This is the first time someone other than Snow White has denounced Regina as being a queen and to be called out by name. That seems sort of personal, doesn't it? Why not say, only I am the true queen, no one else? Also, there's a question of Father Henry's abduction. Seems to me only Mommy would think to use Daddy as leverage, since most residents of the fairy tale world appear to be pretty clueless as to Regina's background, and probably has no idea of her family or where she really came from. Also, Regina is pretty good at lying, so it's very possible that no one knew Henry was anything other than a valet.
Mm-hmm.
The other being who would know is Sidney, and who is he going to tell? Regina was obviously a daddy's girl, since he was the thing she loved most. Mom undoubtedly would know this, which is why she would take Henry. I wonder if Regina somehow banished the Queen of Hearts to Wonderland or trapped her there. And now the Queen of Hearts wants the hat in order to get back to the fairy tale land, or worse, to our world. That's very interesting. Where she could finally discipline her daughter in the way she feels necessary. Again, just a crazy theory. The episode was amazing. I can't wait for more. Best, Cat Slay.
No, there's lots of really good points in there. And yeah, I mean, if she is her mom, then yeah, it would be a good pull to take the thing that she clearly loves most, which is her father. And you know, and even if she is her sister or some other relative, she would probably know that as well. So depending on what the relation, it seems like there's a relationship there. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I think one of my most favorite episodes is when the evil queen goes toe to toe with Maleficent, wraps her up in the
chandelier, yeah,
takes what she wants and leaves. That was one of my most favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It was like two Jedi Knights, the best Jedi Knights, just going toe to toe. And I think it will be great to see her go fully toe-to-toe with the Queen of Hearts and finish the job. And if that means she has to come to,
right,
you know, Storybrooke. But, you know, and then we don't have any magic. So I'd like her to go to some kind of neutral spot and just finish the job. So anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
I love a good battle. Strong women. There's a lot of strong women in the show. So let's do that.
That's true.
All right, the next email is from Chris. Hi, Chris. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. When I first heard that the title of this episode was Hat Trick, I was thinking that someone on the staff of Once Upon a Time must be an ice hockey fan. And you're not the only one, Chris. I thought that as well. I thought we were going to go play hockey here. So if you aren't a hockey fan, and I'm kind of not, sort of not.
You're sports challenged.
I am. I read books and I listen to music and I play video games. That's what I do.
Yes.
And I don't even read books. I like stories. Okay. Number one, if you're not a hockey fan, number one, shame on you. Smiley face. So shame on me. Number two, a hat trick is what they call it in hockey when one player scores 3 goals in a game. Fans throw their hats onto the ice in celebration when this happens. Very interesting. I wish they threw money and then I'd be in the hockey.
Some of these hockey players don't need anymore. They already have plenty of money.
All right. So yet another in a long line of brilliant episodes. I'm not a huge Alice in Wonderland fan, but I think the Mad Hatter just might be one of my new favorite characters. I wish I could pull off that cool leather duster overcoat look. That's true. Best line of the episode was either "I Hate Wonderland" by the Hatter, "Who Are You?" by the Caterpillar, voiced by John Daltrey of The Who. Great inside joke.
You mean Roger Daltrey?
Roger Daltrey. What'd I say?
John Daltrey.
John is a cousin of Roger. but John was not in the episode.
Okay, no, John was not.
It was Roger.
Cousin John was not in there.
I haven't been drinking, people. I have not been.
Not for a while, anyway.
All right. And I can't blame it on the time change. Anything?
Anyway. Nope.
All right.
Continue.
So, you want to read the rest of these?
No.
There was one misfire in the episode, though. I watched it twice and thought the same thing both times. the brief shot of Regina talking to the mirror as the old woman and the CG transformation from old woman to Regina. Magician Lance Burton had a stage show in Vegas, and his final trick is a masquerade ball. He is also a juggler. As his warm-up act, he comes out in the final trick, lifts his mask up, and yells to the crowd, "It's me!" That's what I thought of the scene. It's funny, even necessary on stage. On TV, it comes across as heavy-handed, but at most, I take it 1 or 2 points out of the 100 as a result of this. Everything else was spot on. Just my 2 cents. See, Chris said it was just his 2 cents, not me. I didn't say it.
Right.
That was Chris that said. Anyway, so I thought it was interesting that we did see the transformation because I was waiting for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew from the cartoon that the Evil Queen did transform into some call it the old hag and some call it the beggar woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
And actually what was funny is one of the things, she looked like a gypsy to me and sounded like the classic gypsy in a werewolf movie, sort of.
Okay.
Well, have you seen a werewolf movie?
No, I don't usually watch those. And that's what I was going to say. So I'll take your word that there's gypsies in werewolf movies because the few that I have seen, there were no gypsies.
Well, it's a curse.
I understand that. No, you know what? In the werewolf movies I've seen, it's that they get bit by a wolf.
Yes.
So.
And that is true as well.
Yeah. Gypsies do typically give curses, but yeah, anyway.
All right. And now.
And moving on.
I have a very important email to read from. I'm a free bish.
Okay.
This is cool. This is really cool. So here we go. Let's hope this is the right email address for the podcast on Saturday anyway. It is.
Yes, it is.
You have reached the right one.
That's true.
Hey, what's up, Jeff and Colleen? It's your favorite Evil Regal. I'm a free bish. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Come on, you know you love to say my name on the air. I do. I do.
You know, and this sucks right now because my timeline is totally frozen, so I can't see what people are writing, and I really want to see, so I'm sure it's hilarious.
Yeah,
it's killing me.
Restart or something.
Man, this is driving me nuts.
Anyway, this episode of Once is effing amazing. Yes, I'm censoring myself. Who knows, little kitties can be hearing. Thank you. Thank you so much. Got to say, so much theories to point out and discuss. First off, let's start with the heart boxes. Look familiar? Because Regina has them now. My question, though, is did you catch the little glimmer of the light on one of the boxes? I have a theory that it could be Regina's heart or something important. That's a great theory, actually.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean...
I missed that.
That's a great theory, though.
Hmm.
Because it's just a great theory.
It's very interesting. It is.
I mean,
because if Regina's
her owning that,
well, yeah,
yeah.
Because if Regina's got her heart, if Queen of Hearts has Regina's heart, holy cow!
Mm-hmm. All right, so the Red Queen is Regina's mother, and I have a feeling she could have been somehow banished and disfigured by Regina in some way, and that could totally be it because the covering of the face, we don't know.
Exactly. And that's what drove me nuts about the fact. I was like, what is with this Queen of Hearts, man? Why is she covering her face? And why does she have an elephant's trunk for a listening device or a something? I don't know what.
Right.
It looked like a megaphone, but then it also looked like a listening device. I have no idea. It was really weird.
And there are other theories out there that perhaps she was beheaded or something, but disfigured for sure. Definitely could be. What are your thoughts on this? Awesome.
I know.
Could be. Yes. So I also have a theory that Emma could be Alice or representation of her. Hmm. I know someone mentioned last week that August could be Philip to show Emma the way, but I think it's the Hatter that did that. Emma was lost and the Hatter showed her the way. Hmm. So Yeah, and there's two big theories about just the world in general is that Emma, not only is she the savior and the daughter of Snow White, but she could be Alice. That's one of them. And then the other is, who was in?
Do you mean Sleeping Beauty?
No, Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Dorothy.
So she could be Dorothy or she could be Alice. So those are two big theories about who Emma is. But yeah, either one works because Emma falling down into this weird land, right? That's different. Or Dorothy going into this area where there's like a tornado and all that.
Yeah.
Things are different.
I've also heard that she could be Sleeping Beauty as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different theories of where people are going with who she might end up being.
Right.
Where she could have a, alter ego of sorts in the fairy tales that we know.
But that's good thinking for this, because a theme is a good idea, especially now, once we now that we know that a genie could be the magic mirror. Mm-hmm. Now you kind of take a step back and you say, well, okay, what else could be kind of crisscrossed or different? So I'm a freebish, has a great email here, and there are great thoughts that she's got here. So,
oh yeah,
let me see. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but here's another. Did the Mad Hatter go back to Wonderland? I think he did, but nothing is ever certain. So what do you think? I think he... And I think what she's talking about is the room with all the hats. Is when he went through the hat,
when he went through the hat,
through the window,
did he end up back? Yeah, where did he go? Well, here's my thinking. I think there's two possible answers. One is he did go end up back in Wonderland because he was trapped there. He was stuck there.
Right.
But if he didn't go there, then where else could he have gone? And I would say he went to Fairy Tale Land, which is, kind of, where's Graham? You know what I mean?
Right.
The Huntsman is still in Fairy Tale World, right?
True.
So maybe that's what happened. And Catherine, if she's dead, which we don't think she is, but if she is dead, then Abigail, she'd be back in Fairy Tale Land, right? Mm-hmm. We assume. We don't know for sure. So, kind of interesting. I'm not sure where he ended up. And I could see where it would be really cool for him to end up in either place, because there's so many places they could go with that, with either choice. So it's kind of interesting.
There was another interesting idea that we were talking about from a voicemail that we got on the Thursday show, is that Wonderland, because of the Queen of Hearts, was actually exempt from the curse. So in
but was she really exempt from the curse?
Well,
or just kind of adjacent, curse adjacent.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Where it may not have affected her the way it did the Fairy Tale Land people, but then she may have still been sort of kind of trapped, so to speak, by it.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Right. And that's what I'm saying is that, so it's almost like three realms now. Now I know there's lots more, but just for the sake of what I'm saying is there's the fairy tale world, right? Then there's Storybrooke.
Yep.
That's two.
Yep.
Now we fold in a third via the hat, Wonderland.
Which ultimately, actually, if you look at that, I'm willing to bet that all those doors go into completely different realms.
Right. Then the question I have is, were all those other realms affected by, and Mason's been asking this question for a long time. And if you're listening, Mason, hey, what's up? So,
yeah.
Anyhow, definitely a lot of things to think about. That's what I love about this show, because it never, you think you have it all figured out, and then there's a curveball, and it's 20 million other things. You go, wow, this is...
That's true. That's absolutely true.
All right. So we will continue to read. The last one is, how in the holy bleep did Mary get back to the station so fast? Did they use the hat? Let's see. I think it was supposed to be August who gets her back, but they cut the scene. Maybe they did it for a reason to make people think they used the hat. So this was brought up somewhere, some other people.
Right.
And the idea was that it was Emma.
Yes.
In the cell.
Which would be...
transformed herself.
And how would she do that again when she doesn't believe in any of this stuff?
I don't know.
I'm just curious because I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm starting to kind of be inclined, and I'd have to really study this again to see it, but it makes perfect sense. And I've heard this theory, and I think it's actually a very solid one. When they were standing outside of Jefferson's house, and they had the keys in their hand of the car, and the chimes started ringing for the time, it was only 7 o'clock. And you can see they're really super far away from the jail cell. So they had enough time to get her back before 8. Because even though they were really far away, I think that they got her back somehow.
Yeah.
Although here's the other thing. Even if it was 8 o'clock, Jefferson's house could not have been that far away from the sheriff's station. Because how powerful was that telescope he used? He could see right in there as if it was like only, only a few hundred yards away. And Emma had barely left the station when she stumbled upon him on a back road. So how do we know that her office doesn't back up to like the hill? So he's up on a hill. And do you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's a couple of different theories, but I kind of think that Mary Margaret ran like the wind. And I think Emma maybe, who knows?
So,
but I don't know about the hat. Because, again, Emma would have had to believe in the hat and believe in the magic. And Mary Margaret would have had to, too. And remember, she doesn't believe in any of this stuff right now, either. So it'd be kind of cool if they did use it. But really, would the hat take them to the station anyway? Because the hat doesn't go to the station. It goes to all those other lands.
Well, all right.
I'm just throwing stuff at you.
But maybe there is a door to Storybrooke in the hat.
Maybe, but what's the guarantee that it ends up in the sheriff's station?
I don't know.
See,
I'm not saying
that it's not possible. No, I know. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying from a logical standpoint, the way I see it is either the clock chimed 7 o'clock and they had plenty of time to get down, or in fact, based on the fact that the telescope pointed at the sheriff's station in the, from the bottom, level, the first floor, it wasn't that far away. So I'm thinking it was just hop, skip, and a jump down, and she went through the back door and ended up in the cell that way. That's just my theory. Because Emma's car was not there. So how would they have, without driving it, they would have had to run through the forest really, really fast.
See, this is why I love this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you can sit and have an hour discussion and say, wait a minute now. Yeah, this is great.
It is.
This is great.
I love it.
So I will finish here. P.S. The final one, I promise. That's fine. You could have more. You could have a few more. It's fine. Mr. Gold is totally playing both sides for his gain only. And that is right. I think he might be the one to look for and not Regina. Not saying that because I'm evil regal. And that's true. I think Mr. Gold has all the cards. He's played both sides against the fence. But I think he's forgotten the wild card, which is Emma, even though Emma owes him a favor and something's going to happen or whatever. But I think the minute he thinks that he's got it all figured out, there's going to be something that he hasn't counted on.
Really?
And that, yep.
I think he's playing Regina like a fiddle.
Right, but...
And I don't think he's underestimating Emma at all.
Well... Okay, but let me
I think he's a fantastic actor.
I understand. I
and I'm not talking Robert. I'm talking Mr. Gold.
I know. But
because look at what he did with the whole election stuff.
But let me just say
this. He knew. He anticipated what she was saying.
Let me just say this.
Go right ahead.
One of the greatest scenes in the last episode was when Regina and Mr. Gold were talking in the hallway. And she said, you said that she was going to take that key and run.
Uh-huh.
And she came back.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He figured that she... Well, okay.
See, I think he purposely told Regina that there was a key in the cell.
Okay.
I think Regina gave him the key when he was in the... Remember, he was in the cell himself. Mm-hmm. I think Regina gave him the key when she gave the cup back to him.
Okay.
And then he left the key in there because I'm sure Regina knew that Mary Margaret was going to get popped for the murder of Catherine.
Okay.
And I think that...
Who are you?
What?
What? Regina got popped for... What in the world? Who crawled into my wife's body over here?
I got stuff. Okay, I got moves. You never see.
You scare me. I don't know what you
no.
are. Okay.
I'm telling you. This is my theory.
I'm listening.
So Regina gave him the key because those are the skull keys and she has the skull keys.
Right.
She gave him the key when she gave him back the cup. He put the key under the pillow knowing that Mary Margaret was going to eventually end up in there because he knows everything, right? He does. We know he knows that.
Right.
So he knew that was going to be the case. And he probably also allowed Regina to think that he was kind of playing along with her so that when Mary Margaret did actually run, Mary Margaret thought that Emma left the key for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really Mr. Gold who did it.
Okay.
Okay. And so then what happened was when she was gone, he probably called Regina and said, she's gone.
Right.
And he said, no, no, don't come over just yet. Pop her in the morning when she... I'm sorry.
All right, then.
Just get her in the morning. Catch her in the morning when she doesn't show up for her hearing. Because if you catch her beforehand, it'll look too obvious that you're involved.
No, I feel
you.
Do
you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
So then... Hey. So then... What happened was he played like he didn't know Emma was going to do this when he's the one who told Emma, don't get involved. Remember what he said to Regina or to Emma in the election? Don't tell them that because it'll make you look bad. Yeah, and what he knew that's what she was going to do. So that he told her, don't get involved because that'll look bad on you and it'll jeopardize your stuff. And what did she do? The first thing she did, she ran after Mary Margaret and found her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he purposely let Regina think that's what's going on.
Okay.
So that's just, that's what I'm saying.
I feel you. Okay.
What?
All right. So I'll finish the email here.
I got a side to me.
I understand. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
We're talking about Mr. Gold Rumpel.
Did you drink some of the water from that well?
No.
Okay.
But you know I'm going to pull this out of the hat because we're talking about him.
She's giving me signs over here with her hands.
Not either.
That's the funniest. Okay.
Just, yeah, all right, whatevs.
Okay. So much evil love. And I'll take love. Evil, good, I'll take it. So much evil love. I'm a free bitch just because you like to say it. Another PS. Next week episode is totally going to bring it out. All the evil regal feelings. So get ready for my huge rant about that. I'm ready for it.
Yep.
So thanks. I'm a free bitch so much for the email. That was great.
We love it.
Thank
that was
you.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right. Now the next email is from Jason. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. It's Jason from Canada.
Jason. All right.
Big love up to Canada. We love Canada.
We do.
We have great listeners and a great cast up there.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yep.
I have become a regular listener to your podcast, and I'm going to share some of my thoughts after watching Hat Trick and Heart of Darkness.
Yay.
Number one, August. Wow. Although I can't say I was surprised that Mr. Booth really wants to help Henry and Emma, I was surprised that he openly revealed it. My first thought was that he was the writer of Henry's book way back when he first appeared. But now it seems too straightforward, and that's what the writers want us to think. Mm-hmm. But I think he knows exactly what the book is. The Brothers Grimm wrote the fairy tales so he could be one of them. If he is, who are the others? That's a great question.
Yeah.
And some people have talked about maybe the other Grimm brother lives in the boarded up library.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the other Grimm brother will show up and unboard the library.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly, but a question I have is when August shows up, he did not come in from the road the way that we normally see, like an Emma, I think. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at it again, but it almost seemed like it was coming in from another road.
Yeah, that was kind of, I think we were all just so surprised. That it was like, wait, and we forgot to look to see where he was coming from.
Yeah. So, number two, it seems more likely that Rumpelstiltskin is the author, and he removed himself from all of the stories so that no one would be able to figure out his true identity. I believe that in the end, Rumpelstiltskin will save everyone or become the true villain. So, it's a great point.
Yeah.
And, you know, after you've watched Lost, you can see where the evil person becomes good sometimes or has good moments.
Right.
And the good person does have evil moments or can turn out to be evil based on the situation that they're in. So.
Well, and as Regina herself said, when you've had your heart broken, it can make you do despicable things.
That's true. No, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it at that. Number three. So another point is Dr. Whale. Oh, Dr. Whale. We're talking about Dr.
Sleazy
Whale again.
Sleazy Dr. Whale.
Well.
I'm just kidding. He kind of gives off that smarmy vibe, don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so. He's a nice looking dude, but he kind of gives off that, he wants to, I don't know. Go ahead.
Dr. Whale has Regina on speed dial. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Regina, boy, I hit the wrong button. How you doing? I don't want to go to Granny's. Isn't there any other place to eat around here?
He's our little puppet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I used to believe that he was a doc from the dwarfs, but that can't be true anymore. It seemed like a good idea when he had a failed relationship with Mary Margaret and seemed like the lead doctor at the hospital.
Yep.
But now we know he's not the doc. So, is it possible that he is really Rumpelstiltskin's son? Possibly.
Huh. Well, that would be certainly very interesting if it turns out to be him.
What I think is now is they need to introduce more characters, because if not, it's just going to be kind of a game of, well, this person fits here, and this is this, and this is that, and you can kind of, you know, make a list.
Yeah, you know, it's just so put in hard. Names. He's very, it's hard to say who he is now. I mean, we've kind of talked about. I mean, that's been kind of the thing from almost the beginning is Monster the Whale. Part of me still wants to think that
I was wrong. I was wrong that he was the wolf, but we got a much better wolf, so we'll just move on.
Yeah.
Or more likely that he is the whale from Pinocchio or Pinocchio himself. We shall see.
We shall indeed.
That's all I'll say. We shall see. Colleen has another idea of who Pinocchio is.
Yes.
So, long story short, I have no idea who he is. Yeah, you and billions of other people, probably me. Dr. Whale seems to me like the most neutral person there is in Storybrooke, although he has lied for Regina and hit on Ruby. Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, I don't blame him about the Ruby thing, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, fate kind of brought in people to kind of break up the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're walking along. And what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Leave her alone. Go away, Dr. Dr. Whale. All right. Number four. One more point I would like to touch on is that Regina brought back her father from the dead. But unless he has hidden his identity, we know that in Storybrooke he is dead again. Unless this took place before episode 2, then he has died possibly twice. Confusing stuff. So.
I'm sorry, who did they say?
Regina's father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing is I have a feeling this whole Mad Hatter episode takes place before the curse, before what have you.
I agree.
And that's how she ended up getting him back, and that's what made her realize that he's the one who she loved most.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep. And I do think that he is deceased and gone, gone on.
Yeah.
And that the tomb obviously is an empty tomb. Interesting term.
Yeah.
And when you push it, the
crypt, you mean?
The crypt aside, then you go down the stairs and all that. So,
yeah.
It's actually kind of a you know, creepy, but it's a cool hiding place because no one would want to look around. Hey, it's a crypt. Let's go look around and see if there's stairs down here. I don't want to hang around here. Ugh.
It's a great secret location because, like you said, nobody's going to go looking.
Well, I don't think. Yeah. We're going to search the crypt. Why? So, all right. Thank you for your time. You seem like great people. Jason, we are great people. Let your seam just guide you there.
We're very silly sometimes.
Anyway, so. P.S. I would never have guessed that Gold put the key in Mary Margaret's cell. Oh, my God. Well, he's on the list of people that could put the key in the cell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, P.P.S. I missed Geppetto on the show. That's true.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I kept thinking about that the other day. Where's Marco been? We saw him a little bit at the beginning, and then he just kind of disappeared all of a sudden. So where is he?
I wonder if there's a comedy bit there somewhere about where is Marco? Because remember I posted out on Twitter, I said, where is Marco?
Yes, you did.
You know.
Where is he?
He can't go on vacation. You can't leave. Bad things happen.
Well, he can have a staycation. Imagication, to borrow Paul's word.
No.
All right.
All right. So this is from Tiffany. And it says, I just had a random thought regarding Once Upon a Time and Mary Margaret. Do we know where the writers came up with Mary Margaret's name? We know that Snow White's backstory of the name, but why this name? Well, if we don't have a theory, far-fetched as it may be, I know the writers and are very much Disney fans. I wonder if they chose the main character to be Snow White in homage to Walt Disney. Probably. Since that was the first full-length feature, mm-hmm. This being a first tribute to Walt Disney, but what is Mary Margaret also a tribute to? Her initials are M.M., as in?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
It all started with a mouse. And that's, yeah.
Perfectly. And that's a very real possibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will be honest. I will be honest. I got this idea because last night I was reading that Walt was able to choose the address to Disneyland, and mm-hmm. he chose 1313 Harbor Boulevard.
It's absolutely correct.
It is.
No, it's true.
Yes. It is. It is though he chose the address as M, as in the 13th letter of the alphabet, mm-hmm. making the address MM for Mickey Mouse. And that is when it hit me, maybe Mary Margaret is for the same reason. It always made sense since some of the names like Ashley for Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
But never got Mary Margaret until now. Mm-hmm. Hope you like my thoughts, Tiffany. And we do.
We do. And it is absolutely true. Disneyland's formal address is 1313 North Harbor Boulevard, Anaheim, California. And it is from the history that I've heard from the cast members that have been that have worked there that I've known years and years. It is because Walt picked the address because of M being the 13th letter of the alphabet. And so M, Mickey Mouse.
Maybe he picked it Mickey's for the house. Haunted Mansion.
No, because then it would be HM, and it wouldn't be 1313. Silly.
All right.
It was Mickey Mouse. It all started with a mouse.
All right.
Anywho, all right. You're being silly now.
This is from, I started out silly.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun playing music. It was nice being a little DJ at the beginning.
Okay.
And then it got too funky with the magic carpet ride, and then
yes,
it got wild.
Yes.
All right, this is an email from Jay. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Thank you so much. Hey, Jeff and Colleen, hope I spelled your name right. You did. You did awesome. I was doing a rewatch of Lost, and I noticed that there was only one bad guy, the Man in Black. There's only one really bad guy, the Man in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Once Upon a Time is the same. Regina is the only bad character. And he said that in a good way, people. Because mm-hmm. as we have seen, everybody hates her except for Sydney. I think Rumpel is neither good nor bad. He plays both sides to his advantage. But as I mentioned, Lost had one good and one bad everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. One good and one bad. Everybody else was a pawn
mm-hmm.
and replacement. John Long replaced the Man in Black. And Jack, who's replaced Hurley, replaced Jacob. That's a great mm-hmm. point. Both sides had their little followers, but really only one main bad guy and one main good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Once Upon a Time was like this. We have seen that the people who know their real identities hate the queen, making me believe that she is the only one bad person. Mm-hmm. All I want to know is how Henry figured out that they are fairy tale characters. Something had to show him, and I can't believe he just read the book and said, hey, people in this town look like these characters. There had to be something or someone that showed him the truth. Sorry for the long email. No problem. It's very, very cool. P.S. I love that I can listen to the live podcast via the iPhone and even join in the chat room. Really was great to hear you when I was away from home. Thanks again, Jay. And cool. I'm glad
that, is pretty
that
cool.
You can listen on the iPhone and chat too. That's fantastic. So how did, well, do you want to talk about the good and the bad characters?
I'm kind of inclined to think that, yeah, I think you do have very definitely, as you have the evil side and the good side. I mean, that's, we've talked about that at the beginning. You have a protagonist and you have an antagonist.
Right.
Because if you didn't have one or the other, how would you know that the other existed? So, as far as, I would say, yeah, Regina is the one who is, she's pure evil. And everybody said that. But, and she loves being evil. And that's, you know, she's driven purely by revenge.
Yeah. And we,
so go ahead. If she had not had whatever happened to her, what would she have been like?
And that's what I was going to say is it's not just, you're not kind of putting people in a box and this is a evil or bad character. This is a good character.
Yeah.
How did they get there? Now that's what we're going to find out tomorrow, at least for the evil queen.
Right.
So,
we already found out how. Questions. Right. We already found out how Rumpel got to be the way he is.
Right.
That was back in Desperate Soul.
Right.
So, it'll be interesting to see how she got the way she is.
Yes.
We've kind of even seen just this. You know, Heart of Darkness was Snow, kind of a little bit,
right.
Not completely, right. But it gave enough of the backstory that it kind of showed that she is the way she is. So,
well, I think even in life, you know, I don't want to get totally philosophical or psychological or whatever, but it's like even parents, you say, you know, were you always good? And parents, yes, I was always good. And wait a minute. You know, and you look back and say, you had a bad time of your life, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think
you
most
went out,
people
you got crazy, you did all this. And so sometimes to be good, you have to be bad. And you realize, okay, well, this is not going anywhere. This is not whatever. So it's interesting to see that there are kind of different times in these characters' lives. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting.
All right. So, and let's talk about Henry. How did he believe or realize?
That I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, we know that Mary Margaret gave him that book. The question is, did she even open it up and read it? Because I'm kind of inclined to think if she had, you'd think she would have recognized some people. Because the pictures in the book, although they're not portrait detail, they're enough similarities that you can kind of see that's definitely Graham, or that's definitely Prince Charming, or that's definitely Snow. I mean, you kind of get it. So, I'm not sure. I don't know if maybe he just read through the book and started seeing similarities. He started, you know, putting things together. He's a smart little kid.
Yeah.
So, did he maybe have a dream about something?
See,
it's hard to tell. But I'd be fascinated to see how, if they explain how he started believing.
Now, Manny in the chat room agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, Henry's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Henry was not also in fairy tale land.
Correct.
So he has this view of life that's not hazy, not clouded, not whatever.
Right. He's got clarity that the others don't.
Right. So maybe that gives him the opportunity to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
What I think as far as the story, I think that he will read it and kind of dismiss it, but I think something will happen and it will click. Yeah. For instance, when he found a piece of the Snow White coffin, right? That is still in his backpack, by the way.
Right.
Still there.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to come into play. It's kind of like that is kind of like that whistle.
Yeah.
That the huntsman gave to Snow White.
Right. That'll come into play at some point, too. Yeah.
So my little two cents to everyone who's listening is make a list of these little things that you see that kind of go into pockets and go into pouches and never come out again. They will come into play.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I do think Henry's smart, definitely smart, but mm-hmm. I do think that there's going to be a point where he believes it, but then doesn't, but then something's going to happen that really just, yeah. So. Excellent. Thank you so much, Jay, mm-hmm. for listening on your iPhone and for the email.
Yep.
This is from Tiffany, and there was a cool picture that she sent in, and I will post on the website.
Okay.
And it was drawn by her daughter, and it's very, very, very cool. So I will post that.
Sweet.
I'll put it in the show notes. How do you like that?
That's... great.
This is an email from Spidey Hawk.
Who is in our chat room right now.
Yes. Hey, Spidey. What's up?
Hello.
All right. So, I'm going to read this email. Comics-Multiverse Kingdom Hearts Fables Grim Fairy Tale Comics. Mm-hmm. So, buckle up. Here we go. Hey there again. Popping in a new email after listening to the voicemail podcast. Wanted to pop in a few things. Pop is the word tonight. So if we were doing...
And I swear I've not read any of these emails. I don't read them before, but I like to be surprised.
But you, do you remember the show that... Was it Bill Cosby did? And they had a magic word. It's kind of like Pee Wee Herman, I guess, right?
Yeah.
This, the secret word. When you said the secret word, you know, something happened. So, word of the day.
I don't remember Bill Cosby doing that. I do remember Pee Wee Herman doing that, but not Bill Cosby.
So, pop is the word of the day.
Pop is word of the day, apparently.
So, number one, the multiverse theorem.
Okay.
Holy cow, theorem. I haven't seen that word in a long time. I graduated from college way too long ago. Both the DC and Marvel Comics lines have references to their own multiverses. While DC has used it as a source of most of their big events in the past, Marvel has not, but does refer to the main Marvel universe is Earth 616 occasionally. I think the introduction now of the multiple universes in Once Upon a Time is cool, because now, depending on what properties they can use, they could find ways to slide into different realms instead of just the real world and the fairy tale world. Considering a similar style of going into different universes like Alice in Wonderland, possibly another universe could be Oz. Personally, if they can use Oz, it would be cool to see their take on it. And that's a great point. And maybe they can kind of lean around the Peter Pan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts, number two. This could be another universe they touch on if they feel like it, considering Disney worlds are used as a main source in the game. Even if not, it does throw in a few ideas for those of us who have played the game, since it does show that Disney worlds are out there, but they have not been touched on in Once Upon a Time yet, like Tarzan, most of Pinocchio, Aladdin, Winnie the Pooh. I think that my main excitement with Once Upon a Time is wondering what all they will pull in as part of the story, because they seem to be using the term fairy tale a little loosely, in my opinion, especially when you're talking about King Midas.
And, right, Greek mythology, right. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yep, I don't think of Greek, I don't think of Greek / Roman mythology as being a part of the fairy tales per se, but they brought in King Midas. I should have kept reading instead of saying that. Sorry. Lake Nostos and Sirens already. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct.
Yes.
Future theories and wishes. Number three, I was looking at the wiki for Once Upon a Time and looked at the names in the last few episodes for this year. I can't believe the season is almost done. And here, I agree with you.
Yes.
And in thinking about what they could be, I just want to throw out some story theories. I think we get three episodes before we get to see August's story. I would not be surprised if August is Pinocchio. That's a very popular theory. But I'm hoping that he is someone related to the Oz story. Mm-hmm. I would like to see their take on Oz. Oh, what? What if he's the Tin Man?
Who? August? Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, that is interesting.
It's crazy.
Throwing that it is. Out there. Well, and actually, can I interject one really quick thing? Mm-hmm. Because this was brought up to me by Ryan. He said that it was interesting to him that when Evil Queen and Mad Hatter first stepped into Wonderland, it looked a lot like the Wizard or the Land of Oz. Yellow Brick Road, which I didn't pick up the first time. So is there a possibility that they're kind of mixing those two together? And that, that's a definite interesting possibility. So that kind of fits along with the, you know, Tin Man, August being the Tin Man. I know that's not quite the same thing, but I'm just thinking if they're blending in some of these stories, then perhaps that's what's going on here. So,
and I think his Kansas license plate on the bike has been kind of passed over so far in theories, except for those posting that he could be a relative of Walt Disney, which could be a little too meta for the series, I think. It looks like they're going to touch on the magic apple from Snow White story soon, so I hope we see another Maleficent scene. Amen. I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
And I'm a free bitch in the chat room said maybe the Scarecrow. And it's possible, too.
I mean, there's any number of possibilities of who... So I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some of these characters cross over. Because one of the other things that was brought up was, you know, does that mean then perhaps that Emma is a cross between, like, an Alice and a Dorothy? Or right. Alice meets right. Dorothy, mm-hmm. and maybe there will be a Dorothy at some point in time. So, interesting.
I know I'm beating a dead horse, but... I'm having kind of a man crush on the writers right now because they're so doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that have different feelings about the episodes and all that. But I think they're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking forward to season two. And if you're listening, ABC, let us know. Pretty please just tell us if season two is, you know. Okay, thanks. All right, so where was I? I theorize the finale is going to deal with Emma actually believing in Henry, leading to the second season where she tries to help the rest of Storybrooke realize who they really are. That is a possibility. Mm-hmm. Yep. I imagine come to the end of the season, you will be getting a lot of emails, voicemails about what we may be looking forward to in the next season. I think it would be cool once the season is over for us, oncers, to put together a season two wish list thread on the forum just to see what everyone hopes for. Anyway, sorry for the long-winded email. As always, keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, great point.
No,
let's go
excellent.
Over to the forum, boy. You know, once the finale's done, yeah, get your wish list going.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Spidey Hawk.
Yes.
And this is from Kate. Hey, guys, it's Kate, Mystery Kate 25 again. And before jumping into my thoughts on Hat Trick, I just want to clarify something from my last email. Eddie and Adam have said that Emma is her own character. Some characters are definitely combinations of things, but we've seen Maleficent already, and all the other fairy tales have been played out before the curse except for Emma's, which is what the story is. Therefore, Aurora and Philip should be around somewhere else. Personally, I'm leaning towards August being Pinocchio and the 7-year-old boy. If he were Philip, then he'd have to fall for Aurora, not Emma. We haven't seen her yet, so it's possible, but not likely. Most of the similarities to Sleeping Beauty stem from the curse itself, which more than likely has influence from a variety of stories, as Rumple is familiar with all of them. And has seemingly been gathering bits of magic from each to create the curse to end all curses. Now on to Hat Trick. Upon rewatch, this has become my favorite. One of my favorites. I initially had a couple issues with the timeline, but looked at the book and found something interesting. The chapter in which the Hatter appears is called the Mad Tea Party. The Cheshire Cat tells Alice before she shows up that the Mad Hatter and the March Hare are both mad. However, he is never once called the Mad Hatter. The Tea Party, admittedly, is a little crazy, but we never refer to the March Hare as the Mad March Hare, do we?
No.
It seems like it's one of those things that everyone over time has recognized him as the Mad Hatter. But for purposes of this episode, let's stick with the Hatter by profession and Jefferson as his name. When Regina leaves the house in Fairytale Land, the camera zooms in on a jug and a box in place of honor, and Jefferson looks at them sadly. The only Alice-related thing is her Drink Me and Eat Me bottles and cake from Wonderland. That's great. We know that Jefferson has been to Wonderland before, and something there upset him. At the end of the episode, we see that Jefferson becoming mad. He is stuck in a room making thousands of hats, trying to make the magic one so he can leave Wonderland and go home to Grace. Based on what we've seen in Storybrooke, he didn't accomplish that since Grace/Paige is still with the couple he left her with while he went to Wonderland. So he was likely still trying to make hats in that room when the curse was enacted. So when would he have met Alice? This leads me back to those items on the dresser. I think he met Alice at the tea party in Wonderland before what we saw last Sunday night. In fact, now that he doesn't have to be the Mad Hatter, before meeting Alice, it seems logical that he met her a long time ago. They fell in love, and he somehow lost her. Or perhaps, like Rumpel and Belle, he thinks he lost her. This would explain the hatred of Wonderland, bad memories of losing his love, and why he and his daughter Grace cherish tea party so much. Perhaps Alice is back in her own real world, which would also explain how annoyed Jefferson got with Emma over the number of real worlds. He is definitely sounding bitter, though that could be because Emma was refusing to believe he was anything but crazy. Before I get blasted about Alice being a little girl in the book, yes, she was a little girl. However, there have been many versions over time that have changed details like that. In fact, one version had an older Alice who fell in love with the Hatter. Then there's the time thing. In every version I've ever seen, Alice feels like she's been away for hours or days, yet wakes up after a short nap in the real world. So who knows how long Alice is in this version spent in Wonderland, or how much she may have aged there before meeting Jefferson to begin with. Anything is possible, but I feel it's very likely that Alice is Jefferson's long-lost love in Once Upon a Time because of the mementos on the dresser. Otherwise, if he is stuck in Wonderland making hats until the curse is enacted, trying desperately to leave to get back to Grace, when would the Alice story ever take place? I can't picture the Jefferson we know sticking around in Wonderland having tea parties after all that instead of coming home to his daughter. Can you? I love the decor in Jefferson's Storybrooke house and all the little allusions back to the Alice story. The Tweedles were definitely on the mantle. He served tea, made hats, and Mary Margaret hit him with a croquet mallet. Love that door to Wonderland is a giant looking glass. Can't wait to see where the others go. I definitely saw something that hinted at Oz and Mulan. Hope we see Jefferson again soon. I'm convinced he made it through the hat, but his daughter is still trapped in Storybrooke, so it's only a matter of time, right? One last thing. Henry definitely got a weird look on his face when he was looking at the picture at his book at the beginning of the episode. I don't think this was Alice, even though it was a very Alice episode. Somebody pointed out that the story opposite the picture is Snow White and Rose Red. I think it's likely that this is young Snow and Henry doesn't remember ever seeing it. So August must have added to the book. However, with Mary Margaret's disappearance, there is no time for Henry to talk to Emma about it. So it will show up at a later date, hopefully sometime soon. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work, Kate. So.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Great stuff in there. Yeah.
I noticed a lot of knitting things in Jefferson's house.
Yes, in his Fairytale Land house. The loom and the hanks of yarn hanging from the ceiling.
Yep.
And I didn't see anything else that was necessarily knitting related. I may have missed it, but I definitely noticed the yarn and the loom. So.
Yep. Great points, mm-hmm. Kate. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
Yep. Yep.
And dun 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 dun. This is the last voicemail.
I'm sorry, email?
Last email.
Yeah. Okay, then.
All righty. So here it is. This is from Malini. Hi, Malini.
Hey, Malini.
Malini's in the chat room.
Actually, I don't think she is here tonight. Oh. Not in the chat room. She might be listening, but she's not in the chat room.
Hi, Malini. Wherever mm-hmm. you are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get in trouble for saying everybody's name, so I don't do that anymore. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I wanted to send this email to let you know that I have yet again changed my mind about August Identity. That's okay. We can change our minds. This is a free country. You can change your mind. My very first theory was that August was Pinocchio and that he found Emma on the side of the road because he went through the wardrobe first. Then in my last voicemail, I said that he wasn't because I thought he was too young to remember what happened. But after a wonderful conversation I had with Slay Cat Art, mm-hmm. I am now changing my mind for the nth time and saying that August is Pinocchio and sticking to my original theory that I mentioned above. I'm now inclined to believe that August W. Booth is a wooden boy. Mm-hmm. And now that I think about it, I agree with everything Colleen has said thus far about why she thinks that August is Pinocchio. So I guess this email... is just to let you know and everyone know that I am as fickle as a child. Oh, come on. Come on, Malini. Don't say that. Which I think is good since this show is mind-boggling. Okay, as long as it's a good thing. Just, you know, mm-hmm. you can change your mind. It's fine.
Sure.
Back and forth is okay. Another thing, because I change my mind all the time about my theories. I'm uh-huh. telling you. I do. Another thing I've been thinking about is tomorrow's episode. We will finally find out what Snow did to the Queen to receive that much anger. Bailey Madison is playing the young Snow, which leads me mm-hmm. to believe it was a child who crossed the Queen. My main question is it justified that the Queen has that much anger for something a child did? If it was an adult Snow, then maybe yes. But a child who is curious and precocious, I'm not sure. What do you guys think? I think it was something done later. I think Bailey's going to play to kind of establish the young Snow. But I think... what happened later. So
I don't know. Do you know? Okay, so what popped into my head just now after listening to that moment and putting a few things together is, so Bailey Madison is playing a very young Snow and the Queen is a little bit older than she is in this episode, teenager supposedly, and we're thinking that something happens, something that Snow does will turn the Queen against her, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I never saw it, didn't read the book either, but there was a movie a few years back called Atonement. And I understand that the premise of the story is that Keira Knightley and James McAvoy, I think, were in love, and her younger sister didn't like it and spread a very vicious rumor about him, and that tore them apart and destroyed their whole entire relationship.
Okay.
So I'm kind of thinking that we've got a similar situation going on where Snow makes up a big fat lie about the Queen.
Okay.
And or some boy that the Queen is in love with. And that destroys them. And so she vows to take revenge on Snow from that point forward. That's just my predicted theory. I have not seen any sneak peeks. I have no idea what they're going to do with this, but that just... when I heard that, I started thinking, ooh, I wonder if they're going with the atonement thing.
Well, possibly. We'll just see. We'll see what tomorrow holds.
Like I said, it just now popped in my head. Yeah. I haven't had any time to really like spend any time focused on, you know, backing now, up with anything. But I would not be surprised if that's the route they take, because if this is the whole point of this is Stable Boy and it's all about young Snow and that's what causes her to hate the Queen or the Queen to hate her... I can't even like.
Well, anyway. All right. So
I don't know.
We have seen Snow go over the line.
Correct, and I think she did it as a child.
Right.
Look, I love Snow to pieces. I really do. But let's face facts. She was kind of a little brat in Heart of Darkness.
Yeah.
And she had bratty moments where she was petulant and I wanted to smack her and go, grow up, little girl.
Well, after she drank the potion, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. All right. Okay. Not, oh, no, no, no. Like I said, I love her to pieces. But she drank the potion, she was a little brat.
Well, when you, she was a self-centered, you take love away.
Exactly. She was a self-centered little brat. Yep. So that's what I'm saying is that, you know, how do we know what she was like as a child? Maybe she had something happen to her as a child. Who knows? Maybe right after her mother died, she was...
She was a perfect child like me.
Right. Let's ask your mom about that.
Okay.
Let's ask your grandma about that, actually.
Hey, Mom, are you in the chat room? You can... Yeah. All right.
I'm just saying.
I know. No, no, no. I'm totally with you.
So.
All right. So, lastly, I'll continue with Malini's email.
Okay.
Lastly, I wanted to ask about the Peter Pan rights. I know the producers said they didn't have the rights to use Peter Pan. I'm almost 100% sure that there was a Tinkerbell garden ornament in the pilot episode when Emma was driving through Storybrooke. Does that mean something? Are they authorized to use props but not use them as actual characters? What do you think?
Here's the thing. That was a fairy garden thing that resembled Tinkerbell, but was it Tinkerbell? They never actually named that it was Tinkerbell.
Right.
So being that the Children's Hospital of London owns the story rights to Peter Pan and all the characters and what have you with it, anybody who uses them has to get permission. They didn't actually name it Tinkerbell. It just looked like the Disney version of Tinkerbell.
Right.
So I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility as, you know...
Well...
I don't know what... I do not know what the legal ramifications are of what they can and can't use, but I do know that the... Eddie and Adam have said they cannot use Peter Pan right now because they're still trying to get the licensing. So I would assume that encompasses... any of the other character names, etc.
Well, all right.
I'm just saying that.
So maybe they sent the Children's Hospital of London, who owns the thing, some money to use that.
Why would they need to use something that's actually a Disney caricature?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. Okay. I'm putting on my legal hat now, and I'm saying, from a legal perspective, they didn't name it as Tinkerbell. They did not indicate that it's Tinkerbell, and it resembles the Disney caricature, which the Disney caricature is owned by Disney.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
Sorry, I had to be lawyerly there for a minute.
I agree with you. Okay, so here we go. Live shows are the best. It's like a party every week. I propose that from now on we should call it the live show SNVP or Saturday Night Virtual Party.
Nice.
Thanks again for an amazing podcast, Malini. Thank you very much, Malini. So, well, we did have a little music jam going on kind of before the show started. And that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
We have come to the end of the show, and I want to send big love to everyone who's in the chat room, everyone who listened a little bit and had to go, and I want to send big love and good vibes and good things to people that are with colds and sick. Mm-hmm. I know there's a number of folks that are sick. So hang in there, and we hope you get better. But
And to our listeners that aren't in the chat room, we know that there's some that are able to listen somehow, but not able to log into the chat room. And we acknowledge and we know you're there, so we appreciate you.
Yep. So I want to send big love to the Evil Regals. I know there was a number of them in the chat room tonight, and I see Evil Love's coming back. So like I said, I'll take it any way I can get it. This is a fan podcast.
Yes, it is.
And I want everyone to feel welcome. And, you know, I know that it's tough. And I know sometimes certain groups think they're, you know, this and that. But you know, when we come together, I want everybody to, we all have a place here.
Yes.
So it's important. But I thank everybody for showing up and being a part of this and the awesome emails tonight. And just the cool folks that we tweet back and forth with. It's just so much fun. So I just thank everybody for everything, and I'm gonna stop talking.
You are?
I am gonna stop talking.
Why?
So because we have to end the show.
We do?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Unless you have something else to tell me.
I don't think so.
All right. Is there anybody on the phone or somebody calling in?
No. No, I don't have that.
With this show, anything could happen. So.
That's true. Tomorrow. That's true. Tomorrow is Once Upon a Time Sunday, which is yay.
Yep.
It's also April 1st.
Yeah. So be careful, everyone, for the jokes are going to be rolling.
Yeah.
So I do want to touch on one more time. Princess a Dreamer is going to be announcing the secrets out tomorrow. That's the hashtag. Mm-hmm. Hashtag the secrets out. And then you can also go to Princess a Dreamer's Twitter page and find out tomorrow, Sunday, 2:45 p.m. Central Time, the winner and find out the secret. So I want to just thank everybody. And it looks like Tyler's back from the Emerald City Comic Con.
But he's going to be there tomorrow. And he's
going to be there tomorrow.
Dressed as a Tin Man.
All right. So go and find him if you're in that area. And otherwise, we're going to say bye-bye. See you later. So sorry for the Mixlr stuff. I know it's crazy. I know.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with that is either. So maybe we'll figure that out. Hopefully, we'll figure something out.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Good night, folks.
Joining us. And we're going to be huddling around the TV tomorrow. And first thoughts. We're going to have first thoughts recorded tomorrow. So hopefully you'll listen after you download that. So
yes.
Take care, guys.
Good night.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.